This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. 30 years ago last week, President Ronald Reagan traveled to Moscow for his fourth summit with Mikhail Gorbachev. The official agenda focused on hammering out the Intermediate-Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. But President Reagan had a larger purpose, to meet ordinary Soviet citizens and allow them to interact directly with him. Fox News anchor Brett Baer's new sweeping biography of Ronald Reagan builds to that fourth summit, thus the title, 3 Days in Moscow, Ronald Reagan and the Fall of the Soviet Empire. Last week, we had a few minutes to interview Baer. The organizing image of your book is the speech that Reagan gave at Moscow State University in May 1988 as part of the fourth summit meeting with Mikhail Gorbachev. What was it that made that speech so critical?
Well, if you look at that speech, it is the culmination of what Reagan had been fighting for all along, which was fighting communism pretty much all the way back to when he was president of Screen Actors Guild in Hollywood, and communism was infiltrating that, and he testified about it. Throughout his career, throughout all of his races, throughout his presidency, he talks about communism as falling apart, about being ethically bankrupt and morally bankrupt, and eventually he knew would be economically bankrupt. And that speech to Moscow State University students has a different tone, not triumphant, not hitting them over the head like we're better than you, but almost like a Pied Piper. Come this way. Freedom is important to the future. Freedom of speech and religion and movement. And to be able to say that in the heart of communism to students at this school was the culmination of a life of kind of standing to principle. So I use those 3 days and bounce back and show how he gets there.
Well, you know, you refer to President Reagan as a, quote, strategist playing the long game. And sort of you just said that this was the culmination of everything he had been talking about, campaigning for decades. But you also say, you just said it, there's a different tone. Why does he take a different tone at this point? What's in his mind that he thinks maybe has already changed?
Well, I think he knows that he has the upper hand and knows that that they are on the cusp of a major change there, and something that he has helped move along. I mean, I don't make the correlation that Reagan is the be-all, end-all in what brought down the wall and what brought down communism. I do think he sped it up a great deal. There were a number of presidents, there were a number of factors, you know, Margaret Thatcher, the Pope, the situation, the race in the military between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. But Reagan facilitates that. And at this point, he is trying to talk to the better angels of the young people in the Soviet Union. What's amazing is if you Google that speech and you watch it on YouTube today, it's as relevant today as it was back then. And it'll give you goosebumps. I mean, I'm a history nerd, but it will give you goosebumps as you listen to it and think about the moment in time. And after the speech, he takes Q&A from the students there. And not like written, planned out questions. This is impromptu questions from students in the heart of a place that he called the Evil Empire just, you know, months earlier.
Standing beneath a bust of Lenin, who doesn't look particularly happy either, by the way.
Yeah, frowning Lenin. That's right.
You just ticked off a lot of things that he helped facilitate. Something you didn't mention or somebody you didn't mention was Mikhail Gorbachev. What's the relationship there in terms of a positive dynamic coming from Gorbachev?
So Reagan never wanted to meet with the Soviet leaders because he didn't want to put them on a pedestal the same as the U.S. This is up until Gorbachev comes in. So Andropov, Chernenko, Brezhnev, all of them before, and he joked that they were all dying off on him because in succession they did, but there were Soviet apparatchik, you know, leaders, and he did not want to meet with them. Margaret Thatcher calls him and says, this guy, the new guy, Mikhail Gorbachev is someone you can do business with. And that changes the perspective. And that starts this dialogue where they begin establishing a relationship first by letter and telegram, and then in person. And they meet for the first time in Geneva at this summit, which was just a big spectacle, the first time these two leaders were getting together. Over the four summits, they establish a rapport and a relationship and really a friendship, even though at times they really go at it, you know, at loggerheads. And Reykjavik is an example where they both get up from the table. And that was a battle over SDI, Strategic Defense Initiative, called Star Wars back here. Everybody in the U.S. thought it was a kind of pie in the sky, sort of asteroids kind of make-believe thing. But the Soviets really feared it and believed they would have to spend a ton of money to keep up with this new technology. Gorbachev wants it out of the deal. Reagan says no. They get up from the table, and Reagan says, how could you move from this deal? We had come so far on all the points. And Gorbachev says, Mr. President, you don't want a deal. You obviously don't want a deal. I don't know what else I could have done. And Reagan turns to Gorbachev and says, well, you could have said yes. And that ends Reykjavik, and it's thought that it's going to fall apart. But they have such a rapport that they continue the conversation, and Washington is the next stop.
Fox News anchor Brett Baer on his new book, 3 Days in Moscow.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.